We are the body of Christ. Seems that we keep coming back to that theme, that description of God's church, of the church of Christ, that we are the body of Christ. For me, it's a very comforting thought to know that I am not in this alone, but that I am a part of a group, that we are in this together, that we experience relationship together. And that relationship is often described in the New Testament as a body. I thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this body of Christ. You know, coming up in a few weeks, I'll be celebrating 18 full years here at the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, serving as one of the ministers. I just thank you for loving me and supporting me and treating me like family, because I am family, because I am a part of the body of Christ. And we're going through a lot right now. It's undeniable. But the power that will get us through this is the power of God's love and the power of God's community, the body of Christ. A couple weeks ago, we concluded a series where we looked at the statements of Jesus. We looked at the I am statements in the Gospel of John. And in these statements, we explored the way that Jesus, through these statements, identified himself and described himself and talked about his mission and his position of serving in a place where he would meet our needs, our most deep needs. We looked at the 7 or 8 I am statements throughout the Gospel of John. And so now we're at a place where we're going to be doing something else. So what do we do next? Where do we go from here? There are a wealth of topics that we could explore. With everything that's going on in our world right now, we could do a series on racism, or we could do a series on the power and the dangers of social media, because right now to be on social media is can be a dangerous and troubling place. I could do a textual series on one of the 66 books of the Bible. I know some of you can't wait until I do a series on the Song of Solomon. But here's an idea. We just looked at a series and explored the statements of Jesus describing who he was or who he is. Why not go this route and begin to explore and look at who we are? You see, in the scripture, in the Bible, it is full, replete of instances and words and phrases that describe who we are. Using that phrase, we are, or sometimes you are. As disciples of Jesus, it's important that we learn our identity. And not only learn it, that we would live that identity, lean into that identity. I pray that we will be forged by our spiritual identity, complete with cause to, again, live into these identities with purpose, for the purpose of giving glory to God, first and foremost, but also for our own life transformation and impacting the world. Now look, church, I'm from Buffalo, New York. I grew up, born and raised in Buffalo, New York. And there are just some things that being part of Buffalo, being a Buffalonian, there are things that we do that make it clear that we are from Buffalo. Buffalo is the home of the Buffalo Wings, the original Buffalo Wings, you know, invented years ago at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York. In fact, we don't call them Buffalo Wings. We just call them wings. And when we order wings and eat our wings, we don't dip our wings in ranch dressing. We dip our wings in blue cheese. That's a Buffalo thing. We don't boil our hot dogs. Ugh. We grill them and we burn them and we charcoal them. That's how you eat a hot dog, not boiled, but grilled and charcoal, like at a place like Ted's Hot Dogs in Buffalo, New York. We like our Loganberry soft drink. Now, I don't know what a Loganberry looks like. I just know the drink comes in a can, and it's a Buffalo thing. It used to be called Aunt Rosie's Loganberry. Now it's Crystal Beach Loganberry. Last month, I went to go pick up my daughter from college down at Athens, Ohio, at Ohio University, and I saw these guys coming down the stairs, and in his hand, he had a case of Loganberry soft drinks. I looked at him, and I said, "You're from Buffalo, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah, how did you know that?" I said, "Buffalo and Loganberry. I know all about Loganberry." Come to find out, this young man who's a sophomore at the college, he went to high school with one of my close friends, his son. They went to high school together. And so there was this connection of Buffalo based on Loganberry. Buffalonians, we like our beef on weck. Go Google that and look that up. We like our Jim's Steakout. We like our Bocce's Pizza. Okay, you guessed it. If you're a Buffalonian, you like food. We like our food, and there is no food like Buffalo food. It's part of our identity. Ask my family here, my wife and my daughters, about going to Buffalo. And part of the experience of going to Buffalo, one of the things that they look forward to when we go to Buffalo is the food. This is who we are. Having an identity is important. Many of you have strong family roots and strong family values. Growing up, you may have heard your parents or another adult in the family say things like your last name, and you're the last name, and you don't do things like that. Okay, so for example, you're a Scheibner. And Scheibners are hard workers. So be a hard worker. That's what Scheibners do. You're a Townsville, and you're from Cleveland, and Townsvilles don't play that. You're a swag hammer. And you're a swag hammer, and you're a swag hammer, and we are many. Swag hammers multiply. Now, I don't know what to do with that. I just know that there are a lot of swag hammers. That's who you are. So let's read together. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse number 13. If you've been in church for a while, this is a passage you probably know by heart. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse number 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. During our survey of Jesus's I am statements, we looked at one where he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." And here, Matthew chapter 5, as if Jesus is saying to his disciples that because you are my disciples, you are following me. And because you are following me, you will learn from me. And when you learn from me, you will learn to be like me and walk like me and talk like me. And because you will be like me and walk like me and talk like me, you will be able to say of yourself that you are the light of the world. Not only that, you are salt, the salt of the earth. These powerful metaphors are to speak of the important place that Jesus' disciples would have in this world. Why salt? Because salt gives flavor, because salt preserves, because salt enhances, salt has healing properties. Jesus sees his disciples as ones who will bring flavor to this world. Jesus sees his disciples as ones who will give flavor to the world. Jesus sees his disciples as ones that will enhance life's experiences in the world. This is why Jesus has called his disciples to bring the reality of heaven to the earth. So then, when you pray, pray this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Disciples are to preach a good news that brings the reality of heaven here to earth. The good news is that the kingdom is here and now, and it will have impact on living here on earth right now. The good news isn't just about going to heaven. Going to heaven is a big part of the good news, but it's not everything in the good news. Part of the good news is that amidst living in this world with all of its trials, with all of its troubles, with all of its struggles, is that the kingdom is imminent. It is real, and it is here on earth as it is in heaven. So being sought may be the disciples' way of bringing relief to those who are hurting. Do you think that there are some folks who could use some healing right now? Being sought may be the disciples' way of bringing beauty to a broken and fractured world. Do you think the world is in need of some beautification? Being sought may be the disciples' way of offering life to those stuck in the mundane and in the blah season of life. Do you know of anyone who's stuck in that blah season? They just can't figure things out. It's bland. They need salt. Let me say this. Being sought isn't something that we will do or will be done outside of the experience of pain and suffering in this world. Part of Jesus' message in this speech that he's given, we often call the Sermon on the Mount, right before he says you are salt and light, he says you are going to be persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. He knew that his disciples were going to live in a world where there was going to be trouble, there was going to be messes, there was going to be junk, there was going to be blah seasons, there was going to be things that will hurt you and trouble you, that we are going to go through some stuff. Being sought doesn't mean that we are excused from all of that mess, all of those troubles. We are going through stuff. Right now, we are going through a pandemic. We are trying not to strangle each other as we are stuck in our homes, self-quarantine, as we have all become experts on health and economics and government. We are going through some stuff, continuing to navigate the struggle for equal systems as we try to abolish racism and prejudice and stupidity. It's a struggle. And yet, even in the struggle, Jesus calls his disciples to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. A light. Jesus sees his disciples as bright lights, casting a light of hope in the darkness that tends to be the pervasive narrative. Jesus calls his disciples to be a light shining forth, helping those in darkness to see, to be a light shining forth, exposing the dark forces that make it hard for people to live on this earth, to be a light directing hearts impacted by darkness to love God. Right now, Jesus followers stand in a position to be a light in the face of questions and arguments surrounding race and injustice. I was blessed to be a part of a collection of churches in the Reynoldsburg city that have come together to say no to injustice and racial injustice. We have come together, black churches, white churches, mixed churches. We have come together to say no to systems that are unfair. We have come together to say black lives matter. And before you correct me or add to what I'm saying by saying all lives matter, I want you to know that I know that all lives matter. And in October, when we focus on breast cancer, I'm not going to come out and say all cancers matter. Right now, the pervasive thought, the thought that we need to get going is that black lives matter. And we are fighting for justice for black and brown folks who have suffered some injustices. And our churches have come together to be proactive in prayer and action through civic engagement. We are putting aside our theological differences and refusing to compete with each other. We are cooperating with one another for a better way. I talked personally with the police chief of Reynoldsburg, and he is steadfast in his commitment to work with people of faith to promote healing and advancement in causes that promote that healing and unity towards a better way. He wants to be helpful and a leader in achieving solutions for a better way. The city council in Reynoldsburg, the mayor of this city, has sought out churches and pastors to help create spaces for a better way. And our participation with the police chief, the mayor, the city council is one of the ways that we will be a city on a hill. Parroting political talking points, Democratic or Republican, do very little to be that city on a hill. Reposting racial tropes does nothing to be a city on a hill. Repeating conspiracy theories about diseases or protests is not being a city on a hill. But coming near to the pain and empathizing with those who hurt and mourn, now that's a city. Listening to learn, now that's a city. Refusing to hate, now that's a city. Getting on our knees to pray fervently, now that's a city. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. For what it's worth, Jesus telling his disciples who they were wasn't anything new. God has been trying to tell his people who they are, what their identity was and is. He's been doing that for centuries. And for centuries, God's people have been turning away from God's identity for them. Listen to the prophet Isaiah speaking in Isaiah 58. Starting at verse number 3, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble yourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, listen, church, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. We are not sought because we hold within us any special condition originating with us. We are sought because we belong to God. We are not light because we have somehow figured out how to create light. We are light because we reflect the light of the sun. Like my brother Adam shared in his reflection, one minister said this: our lives are full of suffering, pain, disillusions, losses, and grief, but they are also marked by visions of the coming of the Son of Man, like lightning striking in the east and flashing far into the west. These moments in which we see clearly, hear loudly, and feel deeply that God is with us on the journey make us shine as a light into the darkness. Because Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Your light must shine in people's sight so that seeing your good works, they may give praise to your Father in heaven." This is where we begin our journey in discovering who we are, taking our cue from Jesus Christ himself, who looks at us and speaks with passion to us and says, "You are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth, and you are a city on a hill." And right now there are people who are living in affliction. And if you want your light to shine, you go meet them in their affliction. You speak to them in their affliction. You feel with them in their affliction. And you love them in their affliction. That's a city on a hill. We start first trying to learn about our identity by hearing Jesus declare to our souls that we are light, that we are salt. And the time is now that we take this designation seriously. The world and our community needs us. So be salt and be light. Church, I love you. I love our community. I love our country. I love this world. I pray more fervently than ever before that we will be a city on a hill. People are watching us. They are watching everything we do. They are reading everything we write. They're listening to every word that we utter. As a city on a hill, we need to be cognizant that people see us. And when we do stuff that dishonors God, when we do stuff that dishonors the spirit of Jesus, who came to speak to the afflicted, to minister to the afflicted, to minister to the oppressed, we do a disservice to the mission of God. We do a disservice to the mission of Jesus. That's why it's important that we know who we are. Just like a Buffalonian knows that you dip your wing in ranch dressing. As a city on a hill, we know that our call is not to hate, it's to love. We know that our call is to fight for justice, not to be a part of oppression. It's our call to empathize, to do the very thing that Jesus did in coming from heaven to earth. putting on human flesh so that he could feel what we feel. Right now, for those who are hurting right now, we need to feel what they feel. Church, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. It's time that we bring some flavor to this world. It's time that we enhance what is here. That we take our place as partners with Jesus, as his followers, to be light and to be salt. I pray that over the next several weeks, we will come to a better understanding of who we are as we explore these "we are" statements. There's much for us to learn. There is so much room for us to grow. There's a way that we can pray for you. There's a way that we can walk with you as you discover who you are in Jesus Christ. Please let us know. Let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know how we can walk alongside you. Let us know how we can help you read and study scripture. Let us know how we can help you pray. And join me. Join me as our community is reaching out to us, the body of Christ, to be a city on a hill, to be a light, to be salt. I love you. I know you love me. We are the body of Christ. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Let's live into that identity.